Let us turn to John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 20. John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 30. And many other signs surely did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Chapter 21, verse 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Indeed, we can say amen to what we have read. This morning we begin a series of studies on the sevens in John's Gospel. And from the reading just now, you would have known that even as we study the sevens in John's Gospel, these sevens must have been specially selected by John to be recorded in his book. Many of you might have seen this man, an Indian evangelist, and he speaks a lot against Christianity, against Christians. Few weeks ago, I saw a video clip of him, and he was asked in Shah Alam, where he was giving a talk, by a girl in the university who asked him, "I heard you in your last talk, and I was not very sure what you meant when you said, 'I'm more a Christian than a Christian.'" Then he answered, "Of course, I'm a Christian, more than a Christian, because the scriptures say one must be circumcised. Jesus was circumcised. I am circumcised. The Christian is not circumcised. The scriptures say you must not eat pork. Jesus never ate pork. I do not eat pork. The Christian eats pork. I am a Christian, more than a Christian." Then the girl answered, "But a Christian is one who is baptized. A Christian is one who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ." Then he said, "Show me in scripture where a person is a Christian because he's baptized." The girl kept quiet. Very embarrassing indeed. Do not believe what the church says. Always go to the scriptures and refer to the scriptures. And he was right. I agree with him. Let us go to the scriptures. And he added on and said, "Jesus Christ never claimed to be God. He never accepted worship." And that's where I do not agree with him. And today, from today onwards and next week, I'm going to show to you, because he only asked for one text, I'm going to show to you and to him as well. Of course, he will not be attending my ministry. And to all others, that is not only one text that I can show that he, Jesus, is God, but I can show from one whole book of John that Jesus is indeed God. All right, put him aside. Now, I'm doing this study of the sevens in John's Gospel because you are studying John chapter by chapter. And the exposition of the word is given to you by different speakers. And there's always a danger in this. While it is very good to look through, to study a book chapter by chapter, you may be walking through the forest and you may be walking through the trees and not looking at the forest. And as you see, some of the trees, some are well planted, beautiful, and some may not. as our man just now, found certain trees, perhaps he could fault those trees. So it is important that we always, as we go through the trees, we should be able to see the forest. And it is my purpose this morning and the next week to take you through the forest and go, if possible, above the forest and see the whole forest as a whole, so that you see the whole perspective of John's Gospel and not the chapters only. So for today, we shall be discussing the seven signs of Jesus. But why seven? Now, I have no time to go into the scriptures, but seven is a number of completion. Seven is a number of perfection. It is a number that reinforces our faith in the scriptures and in the Lord Jesus Christ. It occurs in the whole Bible over hundreds of times. And in John's Gospel alone, the number seven occurs a few times. But in Revelation, written by John also, it occurs over 50 times. But in John's Gospel, the seven appears not so much as the number seven, but in the seven items that he chooses. And so today we shall deal with the seven miracles that he specially records to prove his purpose in writing John's Gospel. And they are the seven signs, the miracles that are recorded in John's Gospel. Next week we shall refer to the seven I Ams of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I understand last week you already considered the first I Am. I am the bread of life in John chapter 6. And from John chapter 6, we shall then go on to John chapter 8 verse 12. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And from there we shall go on to John 11, where the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And from there we go on to John chapter, actually go on to chapter 10 first, before to 11. John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. And I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. John chapter 10, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And then John chapter 14, that very famous verse. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we shall finish with John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him shall bear forth much fruit. And so the I Ams. We shall connect that with the Old Testament, the tabernacle, and see the whole scripture portraying the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as John's purpose was in writing John's Gospel. So the sevens in John's Gospel. We have no time to go into the sevens in scripture, but we shall concentrate on the sevens in John's Gospel. For example, John specially mentioned in his Gospel the seven disciples by name. Not the 12, but only seven. He also mentioned seven men, directly or indirectly, which play a very, very important role in the Gospel. And also the seven women, because he must not leave out the women. And so we find the sevens in John's Gospel. But more importantly, he named seven and no more than seven witnesses to his purposes, that for which he wrote John's Gospel. What were the seven witnesses? Very important witnesses. The first was God the Father. God the Father, who would witness to the Son as being the Son of God, and you, those who believe, might have eternal life. The Father, the Son of God, is the witness. In fact, the Father witnessed to the Son as his Son three times in the Bible. Firstly, in his baptism, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then in the middle of the Lord's public ministry, at the Mount of Transfiguration, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. And just before he went to the cross, this is my beloved Son. And so the Father witnessed to the Son as his Son. But what does that mean? I shall point out later on. The Son himself did not witness and say, oh, I am the Son. That witness would not be very correct. But he called upon these people, these persons, to witness to him that he is indeed God the Son. For him to bear witness of himself, his witness need not be true. Some people may say that it's not right. There is another that beareth witness of the Lord, and his witness must be true, because he is the truth, and he is the Holy Spirit himself. And then when the Holy Spirit is come, he will witness to the Lord Jesus Christ that indeed he is the Son of God. But not only that, John the Baptist was sent as a forerunner to testify to the Son that he is indeed the Son of God promised in the Old Testament to come into the world. Then we have John the Apostle himself, and that's why in his book he wrote again and again that he wrote those things that were recorded of the Lord, which would prove that he is indeed the Son of God, and that through him many who believe might be saved. Then we have the scripture, the miracles, which we are going to consider this morning. Seven miracles that he purposely chose selected in order that they might prove that Jesus must be God and no other. And we hope that these miracles will indeed prove to our attendance there up in the world to say that there is God, and the Lord Jesus Christ never claimed to be God. That's not true. We shall see that when we come to it. Then we shall have the scriptures, the Old Testament, the New Testament, all point to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is indeed God. For the Lord Jesus Christ said, I and my Father are one. And so, if you believe not the scriptures, the witness of the scriptures, then how can you believe my words? That would be the challenge of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so, we come on to the seven signs. What would be the seven signs, the miracles? Water was changed to wine. Second, a nobleman believed and his son lived. Third, a lame man made whole and walked. Fourth, 5,000 men were fed in a miraculous way. Jesus was walking on water in a stormy sea, healing a man born blind, raising Lazarus to life again. So, there's still an eighth miracle. Now, that's why the fourth one, I have colored that in green. Because that fourth one is a special miracle. It's a miracle not only recorded by John, but recorded by all the three other gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This is the only miracle recorded by all the four evangelists. Now, John recorded eight, including this one. Therefore, seven are unique to him. Therefore, he recorded only seven unique miracles to prove that Jesus is the Lord. What then is the eighth one? Homework for you for next Sunday. Please find out what is the eighth miracle that would prove that Jesus is the Son of God, and tell me next Sunday when I come. Now, let's see the whole overall purpose. Let's go through the forest now. Let's go above the trees. And let's see what is this forest all about. What is the purpose of John's writing, John's Gospel? Threefold. One, he wrote many other things truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples. He wrote, which are not written in the book, but these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. In other words, these are specially written, selectedly written, in order to prove that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He did not record all other miracles and sayings of the Lord. That would be too voluminous a task for him. It would fill the library of the whole world, and yet could not be able to do justice to what the Lord Jesus Christ did and to what the Lord Jesus Christ said. So, many signs did Jesus. He selected those signs, seven of them, to prove why that he, Jesus, was the Son of God. Here I want to emphasize, when he wrote that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, he did not mean that Jesus was a product of God. He did not mean that Jesus was an entity produced by God the Father and a so-called mother. But he was indeed God the Son. Just as we have God the Father, there is God the Son. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ said, I and my Father are one. Because the Son is equal to the Father. And you know the Son, you know the Father. He has declared him. So, when we read that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, it does not mean that Jesus is the product of God the Father. But it means that Jesus is the Son. God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. Believing that, you might have life. And that's what it is necessary. That if you do not believe, then you will not have life. And you see, therefore, the product of our salvation, that we must believe that Jesus is God the Son. Right. First miracle. The first miracle was changing water into wine. And we want to see how this twofold purpose is fulfilled. So every miracle that we deal with, we shall see how this twofold purpose is fulfilled. One, that you might believe that Jesus Christ is God the Son, and that later on, believing, you might have life. First, the miracle at Cana in Galilee was the first miracle that he ever did as he started on his public ministry. Before that, he was in the bringing up by Mary, his mother on earth, so-called. And all those years, we hardly have any record of what happened to him. Luke chapter 2 verse 5, we know that Jesus would be born to Mary. Luke chapter 2 verse 52, we read that he was already about a boy. And he grew in stature and in wisdom, and he grew in favor with God and men. That's all that we know. And there was another instance, as I would point out later on, of when he was lost at 12 years old and what he did. And other than that, we hardly have any account of his life with Mary. But now, at the beginning of miracles that he was about to perform, he was going to change the whole situation. He was no more under Mary's control, so-called. He was now about to set up his father's business. Luke chapter 2 verse 49. Know you not that I am about my father's business? He was now going to do his father's business, God the Father. And we read in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 50. Pointing when he was 12 years old and when he was lost. And the people told him, oh, your mother and your brother and sisters are seeking after you. Oh, who are my mother? Who are my brothers? Who are my sisters? Matthew 12:50. Those who do the will of God, they are my mother. They are my brothers. And they are my sisters. There's a new relationship now. No wonder at the end of the ministry, while he was on the cross, he called out his mother, so-called Mary. And he said, woman, pointing to John, thy son. Pointing to John, he said, John, thy mother. And so we see, from beginning of his ministry to the end of his ministry, he would not regard Mary as his real mother. Because he had other mothers, brothers and sisters, those who do the will. He was about his father's business, not his mother's business. Right. Sorry. So, Jesus was doing that miracle of turning water into wine. In what way was that to prove that Jesus was God? It was an opportunity to do so. Now, in that miracle, we find that it's written in the, it's the beginning of miracles Jesus, that Jesus did in Cana. And there he manifested his glory. The wonder of the miracle to prove that he is God. He turned 6 water pots of water, each one containing 20 to 30 gallons each, into wine. Good wine. So that the chief guest even wondered why the wine was so good and why left to the end. Now, 20 gallons times 6 or 30 gallons times 6 is 180 gallons of just water being turned to precious good wine. Now, who can do that? Except God, who could do it. And Jesus did that. And the second part of the mission of John, that believing you might have life. Did it bring about any belief? Through this miracle, it resulted in the strengthening of the faith of his disciples. Remember, the Lord was about to start his ministry, public ministry, and therefore his disciples must have their faith strengthened in him. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Miracle number 2, a nobleman believed and his son lived. John chapter 4, verses 46 to 54. From Cana he went to Capernaum. And on the way, we find a man came to him. A nobleman came to him. Please help. My son is at the point of death. Please heal him. In the King James Version, chapter 4, verse 48, it reads, unless ye see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. Casually, when we read that, it looked like the Lord Jesus Christ was quoting the nobleman, unless you see signs and miracles, you will not believe. But no, that's where the King James Version is better than the others. It says, ye actually signifies plural. He was not referring to the nobleman, but he was, as pointed out in King James Version, you people, you are only interested in miracles, and that's why you come to me. He chided them. But this man was not of that kind. And so he pleaded with the master, please heal my son. And Jesus performed the healing without even seeing the son from afar off. Who could do this? Only the son, God the son, could do it. And later on, when he went back, on the way home, he found the proof that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. How? Well, he found out from the servants who met him halfway that indeed the son was healed at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. And it was the seventh hour. And it's good to indicate that he believed and his whole house. And so we see the second part of John's purpose in writing John's gospel, to record this sign, was achieved and accomplished. This again, the second sign did Jesus when he had come into Galilee. Let's go on to the third miracle. A lame man made whole and he walked. John 5:1-15. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Then again, let's see how he fulfilled this part of John's purpose, proving that Jesus was indeed God. There was this infirm man lying at the pool of Bethesda. He was waiting for an angel to come down to the waters, to stir up the waters, because it was a tradition that when the angel stepped down, the first one to jump into the water, he would be healed. But how could he be? How could he be? He jumped into the water. He had been waiting there for a number of years, 38 years, to jump into the water. But because he was lame, he could not be the first. And so we find the Lord came in. and the Lord cured him. We know this story very well. But was the Lord indiscreet in curing him? Because the Lord cured him on a Sabbath day. And for a Jew to heal even a person on a Sabbath day would be work, and that would be blasphemy, and he must be punished. And so the Lord is the only one who could ever intervene, so to speak, on a Sabbath day to so-called work to heal. Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. It was a Sabbath day. Then this would again prove that he must be God. Now, let's look at that miracle in greater detail. Only the Son of God could break his sickness of nearly 38 years. 38 years he was waiting, but he could not be healed until the Son of God came and healed him. Immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And I'd like you to look at the way the miracle happened. It was immediate, and the healing was whole, completely whole. It was not progressive. It was not later on. That will be the characteristic of the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Immediately, wholly. He only could break the keeping of the Sabbath, because he is the Lord of the Sabbath, as we read in Luke 6:5. He issued the Sabbath instructions. He was the only one who could ever break the Sabbath, so to speak, because he was the Lord of the Sabbath. Another proof that he must be God. He only could say, "Behold, you are made whole. Go your way. Sin no more." Who could forgive sins but God? And so this miracle is another proof that Jesus is God. And what's the result of that miracle? John chapter 20 verse 31 says, "You might believe that you might have life." Did anybody believe the Son of God identified but denied? When the Jews asked the man, "Who healed you?" he was not able to tell at first. Later on, he found out it was Jesus. And he told the people that it was Jesus which had made him whole. But these people would not believe. Therefore, the Jews sought to slay him. Now, note please, when the Jews sought to slay him, to kill Jesus, why? Because he healed on a Sabbath day. He healed on the Sabbath day. And for the breaking of the Sabbath, a person must be stoned to death. And that's what God said with regard to the inquiry by Moses in Numbers. What would happen to a person who collected wood on a Sabbath day? Because to collect wood would be to work. Stone him. Stone this man who healed, who dared to heal on the Sabbath day. But we find that the Lord could not be stoned. He just disappeared. And the Jews sought Jesus' life and lost the opportunity to be saved and have life. So the Jews themselves recognized that Jesus claimed to be God. Next one, 5,000 fed. Please note, it's 5,000 men. Therefore, it's more than 5,000 that were fed that day. You all know the story very well. John 6, 1 to 14. Now this, as I pointed out, was the single and singular miracle to be recorded in all the four Gospels. John recorded 8 miracles. 7 of them, as I pointed out, were unique. He did so many miracles before this that the people came and they followed him. And it was nearly night and they could not go home anymore. And so there was this big crowd, multitudes, to be fed. And the Lord Jesus Christ asked, "Who could feed these people?" It's already night. and to show you the miracle. When the problem was posed to the disciples, one of them said, we had only 200 denarii. That will be more than half a year's wage. We could not buy enough even to feed a number of this multitude. How are we going to feed all these 5,000 men and more? So, why shall we buy bread that these may eat? That's the Lord's question. The purpose was to show them that in order for these people to be fed, it again must be a miracle. Jesus must be God in order to be able to feed the 5,000 men and company. And so we read, only Jesus could use what was available at that time. 5 loaves and 2 fishes that belonged to a small boy. And Jesus took those 5 loaves and 2 fishes and multiplied them so that all the 5,000 men and others were fed. But not only so, 12 baskets full of fragments were left. That must prove that Jesus must be God. Today, Jesus can still use the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We have a mission here in Sungai Nimbong to reach out. And we ask sometimes, how can we reach out? We don't have enough. We have enough. We need only the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The 5 fingers of each hand, 2 hands. The 5 toes of two feet. To go out, to do, and to go. Then we can win precious souls to the Lord. This is a challenge. They are available with us to be surrendered to the Lord for His use. The blessing will only come when He blesses. Right. What was the result? Result, all these pointed to the proof that the person must be the promised prophet. Those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is our truth, the prophet that should come into the world. Now, this is taken by our friend that this prophet that should come was actually Muhammad. Now, definitely it could not be, because we read, this prophet was none other than the Son of God Himself. It was addressed to the Lord. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Because it was not time for him to manifest himself. He worked according to God's plan and calendar. In the first miracle, the mother told him, help in supplying wine to the guests. He said, my time is not yet come. And now again, my time is not yet come to be made king. He just disappeared. Who could do that except the Lord God? That's one. Jesus walking on water. John chapter 6, verses 16-24. Now, Jesus was on the Sea of Galilee. Suddenly, a storm broke out. Now, that would be very seldom, because normally the Sea of Galilee would be rather calm. This would be what it would be like. And this is a photo that I took when I was on the Sea of Galilee. Very calm. But that day, when Jesus was there, there was a storm. And the people were afraid. And the disciples cried out that it could have been a ghost. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, do not be afraid. It is I. In your scriptures, in your Bible, in your translation, perhaps it is translated as, it is I. No, that's not it is I. Chapter 6 verse 20 is not it is I. The Lord did not try to identify himself, it is I. The Lord was trying to manifest his deity. The actual Greek there would be ego eimi. I am. He was manifesting himself as the I am that I am in the Old Testament. He did not say it is I. That's just a translation to make us help us understand. But it is a poor effort because it deprives the Lord of his deity. He was manifesting his deity. It is I. I am God. I am the I am that God said who he was when he revealed himself to Moses. That was the first miracle. That sea became calm. The second miracle was when Peter asked, can I come down and see you? Can I walk on the water as you do so? And the Lord said, come. And he did so in Matthew 14:29. He did walk on the water, but then he sank. He sank because he looked down. He did not look at the Lord Jesus Christ. He looked down at the boisterous waves and he sank. And so we find that we must always be looking unto Jesus. Right. What's the result of that miracle? We find their fear removed and the Son of God revealed, and the disciples willingly received him as the Son of God, the I Am. Then they were willing to take him on board, and at once, immediately again, the boat was at the shore where they were heading. This would be the third miracle. Jesus, the I Am. More about that next week when we talk of the I Am statements of the law. Now, we go on to the sixth one, the healing of the man born blind from birth. Here we see a man who, a mature person, born blind for all these years. Was it his fault? Was it a sin that he had committed? The condition of the blind man from birth was not a sin that he committed, but he had suffered all these years from birth up to now for the glory of God. Now this is something that all of us may have to understand, that sometimes sufferings come into our life. We cannot understand, but they are for the glory of God. But we know this, as Paul did, who had infirmities in his flesh. He said, God, when I asked the Lord, remove the infirmity from me, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. And God's grace will be sufficient for us until the time when it's time for him to, for you to be, to manifest that God's glory was indeed in your life. And so this man was blind all these years in order for the Lord to come to manifest God's glory. The Lord Jesus was sent from God for this purpose. And his mission was to bring glory to God. And the timing was correct. And he told the man to take, he spat on the clay on the ground, mixed up with his spittle, and then anointed the eyes of the man and asked him to wash in the pool of Siloam, and he came back seeing. And so that was the miracle that the Lord Jesus performed. Right, what was the result? The result was this. There were those who were there, he rejected. They would not believe. That's always the case. That even as John wrote that he is the Son that you might believe, there is the option that you might not believe. You might not believe and you might not have the life that is promised with those who believe. And they cast him out. Because again, he was pointing to the Lord as God. Let's see. So, what happened to him? He received Jesus as the Son of God. And the Lord said, go and sin no more. And his sins were forgiven. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Or can I put it another way? Do you believe that in God the Son? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. Now, the word Lord would assume that the person he spoke to would be God. would be God. Dost thou believe the Son of God, or God the Son? You remember Thomas. He said he would not believe in Jesus who had resurrected from the dead. And Jesus appeared to him. And Jesus challenged him, touch me and see if I am what I was before. I am God. And he bowed down, he knelt down, and he said, my Lord and my God. The Lord is closely associated with God. And when he said, Lord, it would have meant, thou, Lord, my God, I believe. And that's why we read in the next part of the text, he worshipped him. Is there no place, nowhere in the scripture, no text in the scripture to show that Jesus claimed that he was God? Is there nowhere in the scripture to prove that Jesus never accepted worship? Here is one. Here is one. And the Lord never refused that worship. The Lord accepted that worship to acclaim that he indeed is Lord. Last one. Raising of dead Lazarus to life. First, let us establish the purpose of the miracle. The Lord said again, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Let us all understand. Sometimes sickness comes to us. And sometimes we may even retaliate against the Lord. Why do you send this sickness to me? And then many people, in fact, lately a sister I was counseling was very, very worried because she had a daughter who had a lot of problems. And she said, this is because I have sinned against God and God is punishing me. And others who came to visit her, said, you have sinned against God. That's why your daughter is suffering like this. And she was very anxious and very troubled. She appealed to me to help her. And I told her, be careful. Satan also does this. The best way to tell this person who said that Satan has entered you, that you are in this trouble, tell her, Satan, get thee behind me. That's the best way. And so we find that this man, Lazarus, was sick unto death, and he died because the Lord was going to manifest his glory. And let's realize that Lazarus was really dead, because Jesus said, he was dead. Because Martha said, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. And Mary herself acknowledged that her brother had died. So it was a dead Lazarus. And so we find only the Son of God could perform this miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Of course, the death is not physical, but eternal, spiritual death. You never die. Lazarus came to life, and God was glorified. The Son's claim was justified. Anybody believed? Some believed and had life. She, Martha, said, yea, Lord, I believe. Many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed. Others would not receive him and sought to put him to death again. That from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more. If we refuse to have Jesus, then Jesus would have to refuse to be with us. So with that, I end again with the text for us, to remind us of what we read at the beginning. Truly did Jesus many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Believing, you may have life in his name. And we read in John 11:25-26, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Matthew 16:13-16. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" He was God who became man. And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" That's the individual and personal question to each one of us. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art God the Son." That's what will be meant in that confession. So, today we have dealt with the sevens in John's Gospel, particularly the signs. Seven signs in all, the eighth one to be considered next week. We shall consider the seven I am statements of the Lord. Now, this is a long study. I hope I have the time. But if I do not have the time, you are free to go. Sorry. All right, that's the end. You are free to go to my website to download the PowerPoint and the notes, and then you'll be able to get what I have presented just now. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week with your answer to my homework. Thank you very much.
We'll be glad to see you.